Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, March 6th, episode 35 of our podcast. In this podcast, we'll get into five topics. Number one, we'll look at the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets, who right now sit in third place in the Western Conference. Can they get to the one seed? And are they still really the favorites to come out of the West? Next, let's stay in the Western Conference for a little bit and first focus on two teams, OKC and Minnesota. Which young team am I more concerned about in the playoff? Staying in the West, let's go to two experienced teams, Clippers, Suns. Which team am I more concerned about? Now let's go to the college game and we'll talk about which top 25 team do I think can make a deep run in March that I don't think is getting enough respect. And lastly, speaking of respect, we'll give the all-time team for the defending national champion, the UConn Huskies. Let's get started with the Denver Nuggets, a team that lost last night in overtime to Phoenix and sit one game out in the loss column for the number one seed. They're sitting at 42-20 right now in the Western Conference. That is one loss behind both Oklahoma City and Minnesota. And when you think about this team, it's got to be, folks, you have to begin with the outstanding play of Nikola Jokic, who is obviously still and should be the favorite to win the MVP right now. Nikola Jokic's giving you 25.9 points per game, 12.3 rebounds, 9.2 assists per game. But to me, when you look at Denver, you're going to get what you're going to get out of the Joker. And you know what? You're going to get what you get out of Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, who at times could absolutely take over a game, scoring 20.8 points, 6.5 assists. And Jamal Murray is shooting roughly 42% from three. What you get from Denver is going to be me about the other guys. Let's start with Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr., who is giving you 16.6 points per game, 7.1 rebounds per game for Michael Porter. And if you think about the stats over the course of his career, the 7.1 rebounds is second highest only to 2021. He's got to rebound, and he's got to shoot the ball well from three, shooting at 42.2% this year. Next up, Aaron Gordon, who a couple of years ago when Jamal Murray was out and Porter was out, was the number two scorer, and I didn't think he could handle it. But now as a number four scorer, as a junkyard dog, giving you 14 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, could do a little bit of everything, 3.2 assists. Aaron Gordon has got to be that nails and glue guy, that guy that coaches can't live without if this team wants to repeat. And then you got to start talking about some of the other players. How about Christian Brown, right? Christian Brown, who, you know, has taken on a bigger role now with this Denver Nuggets team, with Bruce Brown obviously being left after this year to sign with Indiana. Obviously, now we know that he got traded and is playing for Toronto. Christian Brown, who has done better this year, obviously with the more time, giving you about 6.8 rebounds, 6.8 points, 3.5 rebounds. And lastly, you know, I want to bring him up. Is a guy, Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson has been in this league for a long time. And Reggie is a proven scorer. It's someone off the bench that could really help this Denver Nuggets team. Reggie obviously had a good run, obviously, with the Clippers. But this is someone that's going to be able to have to score off the bench. So when you think about the Western Conference, folks, they have the fifth easiest schedule the rest of the way in the West. And the big thing is they have three matchups with Minnesota left. That could decide it, because I don't think Minnesota matches up well with Denver because of the way that Nikola Jokic can bring Rudy Gobert outside. That can neutralize him. And I do think Michael Porter Jr., if he wants to, is athletic enough to beat someone like Karl Anthony Towns off the bench. So when you think about their schedule, right, Celtics once. That game is coming up, I do believe, Thursday night in Denver. Three against Minnesota, once against Cleveland, once against the Clippers, once against the Suns, once against the Knicks. But think about it. They got three still against San Antonio, going nowhere. One against Portland, going nowhere. Two versus the Grizzlies, one versus Toronto, one Hawks, two Jazz. I do think there is a chance that they can get themselves to the one seed, and that's one thing that people don't want. One seed is dangerous going to Denver. But I also think, folks, a lot of this is going to come down to matchups. Who ends up where could decide how you could find yourself value or who can actually come out of the West. If you look at that graphic right there, the top two teams in the Western Conference right now are Minnesota and OKC, which brings up an interesting debate. Which team am I fading, I guess you would say? Or which team do I think has less concerns to make a deep run, maybe to come out of the West or win the NBA championship? So if you pull up the odds, OKC right now sits at 8-1 to win the West. Minnesota's plus 950. 20-1 to OKC to win the NBA championship. 25-1 for the Timberwolves. And what I find interesting about this is the fact that, technically speaking, Oklahoma City, and this is why, they have the easier schedule the rest of the way. If you think what I just said, right? They have $1.50 better odds to come out of the West. Folks, that three-game set that Minnesota's got to play Denver, I think it's concerning teams or concerning the odds market and moving the odds market to the way it has. Now, that being said, who am I concerned with more? Folks, it's OKC. I know OKC's been absolutely fantastic. And you can talk about the play of Chet Holmgren, who's going to be runner-up to Rookie of the Year and the fantastic performances he's put on as a two-way player. It's something to stretch it for. SGA, we talked about the Joker. As much as the Joker is a favorite to win the MVP, I actually think SGA really should be the MVP. And I wouldn't be surprised if he won the MVP because of voter fatigue. You can talk about a play of Jalen Williams, someone that can stretch the floor and shoot the ball. You can talk about Josh Giddey. Here's concern with Giddey, folks. Did you see what happened a couple of games ago when they played Phoenix? They employed the Ben Simmons treatment when he sat Nurkic in the lane. Be interesting to see if Mark Dagnall, how he deals with this. So to me, the reason why I'm more concerned with Oklahoma City has more to do with their, ready folks, their defense. I think Minnesota's a better defensive team. I think when you have someone like Rudy Gobert that anchors the middle, it helps you. I think him and Kat have figured it out. I think the problem with Minnesota is more maturity. But I do think if you're going to ask me who am I more concerned about, I'm more concerned about Oklahoma City because in the playoffs, games slow down. They become half-court basketball games. And the best team defensively in the NBA, metric-wise, most of the year, has been the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's move on to two other teams in the West. But these are more, one's more of a favorite, one's an underdog here. And let's pull it up here. And it's the Clippers at plus 240 to win the West, 5-1 to win the finals. And then the Suns at 8-1 to win the West and 18-1 to win the NBA championship. And you really look at it, folks, it has a lot to do with two things. Once again, first off, Phoenix right now is 5 games behind the Clippers, right? And there is a chance, folks, that Phoenix could find themselves in the play-in tournament. Why, folks? They have the toughest schedule left in the NBA, right? They got to still play Boston twice. They got to play Minnesota twice, OKC once, Denver once, Milwaukee once, Cleveland twice. And if you talk about easy opponents, easier, it's twice versus Spurs, once versus Charlotte, once versus Toronto, and once versus Atlanta. And a great resource, folks, I use Tankathon. So I can go to Tankathon, and you can split it up. You can do whole league. You can do East-West. You can do it by divisions. Phoenix has one of the toughest schedules, in fact, the toughest schedule left in the Western Conference. And you look at a team like the Clippers, they have the 7th toughest, so they're right in the middle of the road. But some of their easier opponents, folks, think about this. Charlotte once, twice versus Portland, twice versus Houston, once Atlanta, twice versus Chicago, twice versus Utah. That bodes itself for them to finish better. So who am I more concerned with? Folks, it's got to be the Suns, right? If you think about the Phoenix Suns right now, where they stand, this big three of Durant, Beal, and Booker can't stay healthy. Beal missed time for a while. Booker missed time for a while. Now, D-Book is out right now with an ankle injury. Should be back next week. They got to get Bradley Beal healthy, right? Bradley Beal, when he's been healthy, has been good for Phoenix. But they got to get him healthy, folks. And that's the issue with a team like this. Kevin Durant's been outstanding. But also, folks, when you think about the concern with the Phoenix, they got to get healthy, right? I talked about it with Durant, staying healthy. And this guy misses time, folks, every year. He hasn't missed much this year. You look at Devin Booker, who's on the injury report right now because of the ankle injury. He's out for a little bit. But here's the thing, folks. There's also this. They play three back-to-backs the rest of the way. Does Frank Vogel sit Durant or Beal or Booker during that time frame? Because then that could lead Frank Vogel into that team maybe being in the play-in tournament. So a lot of tough decisions right now for Denver. Not to say Denver. For Phoenix. I know people are looking at the fact of the Clippers just lost Russell Westbrook, but to me, as long as Harden, Kawhi, and PG-13 can avoid the injury bug, I would say that they are a safer bet to make a run in the West than Phoenix. Let's move on to the college game, where I want to give you my team in the top 25, who I think can make a deep run in March that really, I should say, is not getting the respect, I would say, by the odds makers. And for me, that's the Creighton Blue Jays. The Creighton Blue Jays team that in the last week and a half, has bludgeoned UConn at home. Yes, they went to St. John's and they laid an egg, but then turned around last week and beat the snot out of Seton Hall and then had Marquette come into town and they beat them down too. Now, you're going to look at me and say, Tyler Kolek didn't play. The big guy didn't play. So down two starters. I get it. But when you look at this team, right, in Creighton, they're sitting at 25-1 to win the national championship. They're in eighth, right? Tied with Creighton at 25-1. I firmly believe that if Tyler Kolek does not get healthy, and he's going to miss the last two games of the Big East season, the biggest threat in the Big East to UConn is Creighton. And I think one of the biggest threats to UConn nationally is Creighton. Why? Start with the big man in the middle, Ryan Kalkbrenner. At 7'1", he's got the size to neutralize, as we look at Bear Sharman, but you can see Kalkbrenner there in the background as we look at Alexander, the star guard. But to me, it's about Kalkbrenner. If Ryan Kalkbrenner could be a threat inside and out, shot blocker, rebound, stretch the floor, there's Ryan right there. I think he's the difference maker because he can neutralize the Donovan Clingan, right? Then you go to the guard spots and you look at Alexander, whose ability has gotten so much better as the years have gone on. Someone that can get you off the bounce, really good shooter. Then you got to look at the former Jackrabbit, Shireman, lefty, stroke. Now, Shireman will struggle against teams that really lock up defense. We saw that against St. John's. So we have to see how that translates. And then obviously you got to talk about Ashworth at the point. But also, Greg McDermott's one of the best coaches in America, folks. And Greg McDermott, I firmly believe this is going to be his last year at Creighton. I think he's due for a big-time job. If I'm at school like Ohio State, and there's my guy Greg McDermott with my very good friend right there, the official Brian O'Connell. I think when you look at this, if you're Ohio State, you're calling Greg McDermott. If Michigan fires Juwan Howard, you're calling Greg McDermott. If you are a USC and you fire Annie Enfield, you're calling Greg McDermott. Greg McDermott, Kyle Smith, I'm going to add Abdul-Rahim. Those three coaches should be on speed dial, along with Grant McCaslin, who's at Texas Tech. Those four, speed dial. If you got a big, big, big-time job, I'm calling one of those four guys to lead my program right now. Let's end today's podcast by talking about my all-time team for the defending NCAA champions, the UConn Huskies. Folks, when you think about UConn, you think about the rich tradition, right? Particularly of Jim Calhoun, who was really part of that UConn team which kind of made what the Big East is, right, or was. Obviously, UConn leaves the Big East for a while, made their way back, thank goodness. Hey, Syracuse, you listening to that? Come on back to the Big East. You should be there. I understand it's about football, but I'm a basketball guy, and I'm kind of selfish. But you think about UConn, a program rich in tradition with five national championships. Let me give you my bench for my all-time UConn team. Ben Gordon, the pride of money-earning Mount Vernon. Caron Butler, Shabazz Napier, Rudy Gay, and Donyell Marshall. And folks, think about this. This is the bench. This is the bench. That's crazy. But when you think about Ben Gordon, the pride of, like I said, Mount Vernon, one-time NCAA All-Region, national champion, Big East Tournament MVP, 3 years at UConn, the number three overall pick. Ben Gordon was such a silky, smooth offensive guard. Played at the two spot, but could probably be a 1-2. But really good off the bounce. Great stroke, pull-up game. Ben Gordon, fantastic player for Jimmy Calhoun and the UConn Huskies. Next, let's go to a small forward, Caron Butler. Caron Butler, who had a very good NBA career, Big East Player of the Year in 2001-2002, Big East Tournament MVP, two seasons at UConn, all region. Caron Butler, as I guess you could call him an early 3-and-D guy. If you think about 3-and-D guys in the NBA now, like that's what Caron Butler could do. Someone could knock down the three, but really, really good and long defensively. How about another point guard? How about Shabazz Napier, two-time NCAA champion, one-time all-region, All-American, American AAC Player of the Year. That's when they left, right? Four seasons at UConn, 24th pick overall in the 2014 NBA draft. Another guard at the point that was so dynamic with the ball and what he could do, put a ball on a string and really made these guys run him better. How about Rudy Gay? One-time All-Region, All-American, two seasons at UConn, eighth overall pick. Rudy Gay, another like 3-and-D guy that's had a long NBA career who could stretch the floor, knock down threes, very, very good defensively. And at the center, but he wasn't a center, more of a power forward, Donyell Marshall, played in the 90s, 93-94 Big East Player of the Year, four seasons at UConn, top five pick in the NBA draft. Donyell Marshall, kind of like a, I guess you call it Donyell, a stretch four, right? Was more than an inside game, could really could step out, shoot the ball, really underrated rebounder. That is my bench for my all-time team. Let me give you my starting lineup for the UConn Huskies. At the guards, I'm going to go with Kemba Walker. I'm going to go three-guard lineup. Kemba Walker, Ray Allen, Rip Hamilton, Clifford Robinson at the four, and Emeka Okafor at the five. And let's start off with Kemba Walker. Folks, two-time All-Region, one-time national champion, NCAA Tournament MVP, three seasons at UConn. And who can remember the run that he put on at MSG 1 year? Remember the phrase, party at Kemba's? When Kemba Walker put that guy from Pitt, put him on the ground. I'm looking on the ground. I don't even know if the guy's gotten up yet. He shook the guy so hard. Kemba Walker, what a career he had at UConn. But at the two spot. Jesus! That's Jesus Shuttlesworth. For you guys that have never seen the game, he got game. And we're talking about Ray Allen, All-Region, 95-96, Biggest Player of the Year. Folks, time out. Do you know who was else in the Big East at that time? Allen Iverson. And this guy was a Player of the Year. And he had some wars with Allen Iverson, including, I do believe, the Big East final in 1996 at when he kind of hit this crazy runner end the game to get them the win. Three seasons at UConn, number five pick of the NBA draft. Distinguished NBA career, one of the best shooters of all time. Next, the king of the mid-range game, Richard Rip Hamilton. Folks, if you want to learn how to come off a curl and shoot a 15-foot J, Rip Hamilton made a career out of this. NCAA champion, two-time All-Region, two-time All-American, two-time Big East Player of the Year, three seasons at UConn, number seven pick of the 1999 NBA draft. Richard Hamilton, I'm going to say this, folks. I talked about the curl. He had the best mid-range game off a screen I've ever seen. And anytime I train a kid, I say, you want to look at someone? Go look at Rip Hamilton and how he came off screens and scored. Let's move on. The Clifford Robinson, someone you guys may not know about because he played in the 80s. Clifford Robinson, four-time Four seasons at UConn, two-time All-Big East, scored about 15.3 points per game, 6.1 points per game. And Roy was part of that UConn team in the late 80s that really started to make that big run and that push, playing with a guy like a Tate George. You'll think about some of the heartache that Jimmy Calhoun had with teams back then. And lastly, at the center position, one of the most underrated college bigs I've ever seen, especially defensively, unbelievable, Emeka Okafor, All-American, national champion, two-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, three seasons at UConn, averaged a double-double plus four blocks per game. Emeka Okafor, an outstanding defender and the center, the safety, you would say, of those great UConn defensive teams when he played. Once again, my bench, Ben Gordon, Caron Butler, Shabazz Napier, Rudy Gay, Danielle Marshall, and then my starters, Kemba Walker, Ray Allen, Richard Hamilton, Cliff, people call him Clifford Robinson, Emeka Okafor. This has been episode 35 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. For all things, check out our Sports Grid app, iOS, Google Play Store, your one-stop shop for everything pregame, endgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the business. Next podcast will be on Monday. Ready, folks? I got a trick for my producer, Matt. We're going to go, ready for this? The top 10 player will go all time, John Calipari. So we're talking UMass. We're talking Kentucky. We're talking Memphis. Wow. This is going to be one hell of a list. Once again, this has been Coach Young. Thanks to Matt, George, and Vinny for doing a great job. We'll see you next week. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.